Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, April 3rd, 2007 Carrboro Board of Aldermen meeting. We'll begin with requests and, from visitors and speakers from the floor. Is there anyone here to speak on a matter that's not on our printed agenda? Okay, if not, I'd like to...
Mark, I think we can make Bart doing this.
I'm sorry?
I think Bart's doing this.
Okay, what was the item? Yeah, what was the item? Okay, come on up, please. Come on up to the podium, please, if you would. Yes.
Good evening. I'm Barbara Dewey. I live on Lorraine Street here in Carrboro. And I just would like to talk to you about the crossings of creeks along the streets that I live on. I live on Lorraine Street, and if that doesn't ring a bell, it's a street that goes into the Carrboro Post Office. Lorraine is one of three streets that form a triangular block in Carrboro here. Many of the town of Carrboro's walks, runs, and races take place in part on Lorraine Street, on James Street, and or on Carroll Street, the three streets that frame this triangular block. There's a creek, Tom's Creek, that runs under both Lorraine Street and Carroll Street, and there's a pond across the street from houses on James Street. And the water from that pond runs under James Street before running into Tom's Creek. The streets that cross these creeks are degrading, and there are long drops from each one of the streets into the water below, into the creek bed below. The water in all these creeks runs high during most rainstorms. It frequently floods over the creek banks, and it backs up into yards along Lorraine Street, not far from the entrance to the Carrboro Post Office. Next time we get a hard rain, I'd like to request that you take a look at the creek crossings over Lorraine Street. I think you'll see that even after many attempts on the part of the Public Works Department and you as aldermen, yards along Tom's Creek are still filling up with water. This periodic flooding, though, is not what's troubling me this evening. It's the damage done by the rushing floodwaters to the roads above them that is troubling me. Our streets are becoming uneven and dangerous for walkers and runners because of this rushing water. They're not just any residential streets. Many of the town's walks and races take place on these streets. And yet their pavement is uneven, and there are long drops to the rocky stream below. One of the streets, Lorraine Street, is a street which goes into the Carrboro Post Office. If there ever was a great walkable destination, it's the post office. On summer days, I frequently see mothers or fathers with children walking or in strollers, enjoying the walk down Lorraine Street or along James Street to get to the post office. These people deserve and need a safe place to walk. Runners need a safe and smooth place to run. Please consider putting up some barriers along the sides of the road at all three of these creek crossings, and give special thoughts to how you might want to handle putting sidewalks in on these streets. Safety first, please, and soon. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Usually with this type of matter, we would our next step would be to refer the matter to our town staff for some reaction from them. They'll bring a short memorandum, if that's what we do, then they'll bring a short memorandum back to us addressing what they think ought to be done and making recommendations to the board. And that would be at a subsequent meeting. And if you'll we'll get in touch with you to let you know, get you a copy of that and let you know when the issue will be back before the Board of Aldermen, okay?
Thank you so much.
Is there a motion to refer this matter to the staff?
So moved.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we refer this to staff, and all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passed unanimously. Thanks very much for bringing that to our attention.
Thank you, Barb.
Okay. With that, I'd like to invite the representatives from the Rape Crisis Center up to the podium with me. I am issuing a mayoral proclamation today that I want to read into the record, and then I'll ask the folks from the Rape Crisis Center to make some additional comments. Whereas the Orange County Rape Crisis Center assisted 374 survivors of sexual violence and their family members, friends, and loved ones during 2006, and whereas the Orange County Rape Crisis Center works with the county's two school systems and other groups to provide all students with age-appropriate information about sexual assault prevention, reaching 8,862 children and youths during the 2005-2006 school year. And whereas the coordination of the Orange County Sexual Assault Response Team, SART, is bringing together members of law enforcement, the medical community, the legal system, and other community advocates to improve services for survivors of sexual assault who come forward. And whereas one in five North Carolina women have been sexually assaulted at some point in their lives, and whereas in the United States, rape is the most costly crime to its survivor, totaling $127 billion a year, considering factors such as medical costs, lost earnings, pain, suffering, and lost quality of life. And whereas in the United States, one in six women and one in 33 men have experienced a completed or attempted rape at some time in their life. And whereas there are 5,915 sex offenders and sexual predators registered as living in the state of North Carolina. And whereas the blaming of the victim continues to be an enormous problem in instances of rape and sexual assault. And whereas the Orange County Rape Crisis Center, a nonprofit volunteer agency which has been serving this community since 1974, is working with others in the community to stop sexual violence and its impact through support, education, and advocacy. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Mark Chilton, mayor of the town of Carrboro, North Carolina, do hereby proclaim the month of April 2007 as Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and I encourage all citizens to speak out against sexual violence and to support their local community's efforts to prevent and respond to these appalling crimes.
I'm Noreen Fagan, and this is Florence Seaman. We're both on the board of directors at the Orange County Rape Crisis Center.
And the only thing that I would add to the proclamation is that we're having several different events that are happening this month. And so I'm going to be passing around this ribbon that we would want each one of you to wear during this month. But also, there's information here about our website. And if you could please check out our website and find out about local events that we're having here in our community to make sure that we remember the impact that sexual violence has on each one of us. Thanks.
I just want to say thank you very much to the mayor and to Carrboro Town Council. We are both residents, so this is quite cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, and for those of you watching at home, the website where you can learn more information about the Orange County Rape Crisis Center is OCRCC, Orange County Rape Crisis Center, .org. Thank you. Mr. Manager, the consent agenda.
Item one is an approval of minutes of the previous meetings of March 13th, 20th, and 27th. Item two is a request to set a public hearing on the temporary street closing permit application for the Ride of Silence. And I would point out that the request for the actual event has been changed to Wednesday, May 16th, rather than the original date of May 17th. It doesn't change the public hearing date. Item three is a request to authorize implementation of a 911 address marking program fees. Item four is a request to set a public hearing to repeal resolution number 10/90-91 and to establish a new verifiable percentage goal for participation by minority business and awarding of building construction contracts. Item five is a resolution making an appointment to the Recreation Parks Commission. Item six is a town code amendment related to the solicitation of businesses from moving motor vehicles. Item 7, request to set a public hearing on the voluntary annexation of the elementary school number 10 property located at 215 Eubanks Road. Item 8 is a request to reset the public hearing for review of downtown livability space, urban amenities, land use ordinance text amendment.
Move the items.
Second.
I just have a brief question about number 3, however.
Let's hear your question about number 3.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a request to set, so we'll obviously move forward with that. But as I understand the item, there is now an additional requirement that we must justify setting a differential threshold than the statutory threshold. Is that correct? That's a new statutory requirement? What's the story?
Actually, it's really not a new statutory requirement. It's I only have one point that I'm not clear on. There is a statute that's been there for quite some time. Mm-hmm. I'm not clear whether or not at the time that we adopted our 15% goal, that statute was in effect or not. But that statute now does clearly indicate that you can have a differential rate, a different rate for your goals and objectives, so long as you got the studies or data to back it up. I'm not sure that was...
Does that require it in both directions or what?
Yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. Basically. I mean, the statute, I will tell you, the statute is very confusing, but, I think it... There's a lot of very nice, wonderful legal issues surrounding the whole thing. There's litigation going on at the state and with their statute. And it just seems to me that in lacking a separate verifiable study, our best alternative is to adopt the goal that is statutorily mandated, at least for one of the circumstances. There's two things that are covered in the statute. One is for contracts that are $100,000 or more and that have state funds, right. And another requirement for $300,000 or more. In the former, they say you've got to establish the 10% goal. In the latter, they don't say. But I think the safest thing to do, and what, frankly, most local governments have done, is just adopt the 10% goal. Because not many places, if any, in North Carolina have done the kind of detailed study and analysis that one would need to be able to, frankly, justify how these... these goals. I mean, it's a legal quagmire that I think our best and safest course of action is to do it. That's why, the bottom line is we don't have a justification for why we have the 15%.
Yeah, I guess I'm wondering, what gave rise to it, since we've had, as a matter of policy, a 15% goal, and as far as I know,
well, I think what's giving rise to it is we got a project coming up that we're going to have to apply the statute.
Right. Okay.
And when we look at the statute and we look at what we've got, we see what might be considered a disconnect.
Right. What was the last project we had to apply the goal? It was it Century Center? Wasn't it?
Century Center. I don't. That's correct. We did the Century Center under that statute, but actually whether and to what extent that statute was actually applied is not clear.
What extent our
policy was actually applied in the context of that project is not clear. I don't think we have any.
We'll just wait till it goes to public hearing, but I don't know. I guess I'm just a little bit concerned that if there is a way that we can have, that we can continue to set a goal that is higher than the statute without getting ourselves into, as you said, a legal quagmire.
Well, there is a way, and that's to do a study to justify.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll wade into or out of that quagmire on
public hearing.
Whatever date. When will that
May
public
24th?
Hearing be? May 24th.
Yeah, I just thought I'd give you a heads up that kind of perked my ears.
Okay. So it's been moved and seconded, the 8 items on the consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, matter passing unanimously. We do have two advisory board members to be charged tonight. Is Elizabeth Brisson here? If you would come up and stand before the town clerk here and be just right there is good.
I'll just read this to you and have you sign off on it. As a member of the Appearance Commission / Neighborhood Preservation District Commission, you will, number one, initiate, promote, and assist in the implementation of programs of general community beautification within the town's planning jurisdiction. Two, seek to coordinate the activities of individuals, agencies, organizations, and groups public and private, whose plans, activities, and programs bear upon the appearance of the town and its environs. Number three, direct the attention of the mayor and board of aldermen to ways in which the town government may take direct action affecting the appearance of the town and its environs. Number four, make recommendations upon any permit or other item referred to the commission by the board of aldermen, planning board, board of adjustment, or zoning administrator. Number five, seek to promote, enhance, and preserve the character and heritage of neighborhood preservation districts. And six, take any other action authorized by the Carver Board of Aldermen. If I can get you to agree to that. Would you like to make a board?
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
I look forward to working with you.
Okay, and Sharon Cook, who is joining the planning board.
As a planning board member, you will, number one, make studies and recommend to the Carver Board of Aldermen plans, goals, and objectives relating to the growth, development, and redevelopment of the town and the surrounding extraterritorial planning area. Number two, develop and recommend to the Board of Aldermen policies, ordinances, administrative procedures, and other means for carrying out plans in a coordinated and efficient manner. Number three, make recommendations to the Carver Board of Aldermen concerning proposed conditional use permits and proposed zoning map changes as provided by Section 15-57 and 15-322 of the Carborough Land Use Ordinance, and four, perform any other duties assigned by the Carborough Board of Aldermen.
Yeah.
To the inside.
Okay. I'm coming directly from work, so I apologize to the board.
Party in.
Yeah, right.
Well.
Yeah.
It's good.
Okay. With that, we are on item D1, a report from the Greenway Summit Group.
The Greenway Summit Work Group has considered the public comment offered during the October 28, 2006 Greenway Summit and made recommendations regarding follow-up action. A resolution that directs the staff to prepare a town code amendment establishing a Greenway Commission is provided for the board's use, and Trish McGuire, our planning administrator, is at the podium to give the board an overview. Trish.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I'll be just a moment longer. I have just a few slides that just present the text for anybody in the audience who wanted to see the words. Just about a year ago, the Board of Aldermen had a work session on the idea of creating a Greenways Open Space and Preserve Commission, and the proposal was distributed to the town's advisory boards for their review and comment, and the board received that feedback and asked for representatives from the advisory boards, and your decision was to hold a community summit on this topic and to see what the rest of the community, aside from the advisory board members, had to say about it. The group worked in the late summer and planned a summit, which was held in October of last year, and there were 51 members of the community of Chapel Hill, Carborough, and Orange County who participated in it. And in follow-up, the work group, members of the Board of Aldermen and advisory boards and, members of the advisory boards and members of the Board of Aldermen met to review the meeting notes from that summit and have made a recommendation or a couple of recommendations to you in terms of follow-up actions. The principal action is that the committee that was formed last year, actually in 2005, to pursue the preparation of an RFQ and obtaining the services of a consultant to do a conceptual plan for the Morgan Creek Greenway Trail, that that commission or that committee be restructured into a Greenway Commission. That committee does have representation from the from advisory boards and the Board of Aldermen and also some community representation. The group recommended that the that is to say the work group, the Greenway Summit work group, recommended that the community participation be increased in that restructured commission, and that there be school board representation added because of the tasks that would involve thinking about the Greenway's functioning as a way for children to walk to school along both of the creeks in town where these trails are proposed. So the first principle, aside from the structure of the commission, the first task that that was outlined for this group is to proceed with the task that was assigned to the Morgan Creek Greenway Trail Committee, and that is to work with staff to come up with an RFQ so that we can look for a consultant to help with the preparation of a conceptual plan, that there are funds in the current fiscal year budget to carry out that task. And we do have folks already, not consultants, I mean, but people on this commission who are interested we're interested in this project moving forward, if possible. The commission will then oversee the preparation of the conceptual plan, so we'll work with the consultant to prepare the conceptual plan. And there is one task that I don't have on the slide here, but has been discussed as well as feeding into the tasks for this group, and that is the topic that came up from the Friends of Bowling Creek regarding the dedication of open space. And it was felt in the discussion that the experience of seeing how the conceptual planning process would work and how the areas of open space where the town or the areas along the creeks where the town has obtained larger pieces of open space versus smaller easements for trails, the experience of seeing how that played out in the course of conceptual planning would be valuable feedback to use to decide how what kind of a recommendation might be offered to the Board of Aldermen and the larger community about that topic of open space dedication down the road. And so that is a topic that commission is expected to also address, although it's not specifically spelled out in the summary or in your abstract. Following the completion of that conceptual planning process, in about a year's time, we do have, through the MPO, they're not budgeted yet, but funds lined up to pursue the same type of conceptual planning for Bowling Creek. And so that would be the next principal task of the Greenway Commission. And we've provided for you a resolution that would, if you were to adopt it, would direct staff to proceed with preparing a town code amendment establishing this commission with the structure that's, as I said, based on the Morgan Creek Greenway Trail Committee with some modifications. So we offer that for your action tonight. If you'd like, I'm happy to try and answer any questions.
I know Randy and I worked for quite a while on this, kind of got to know each other as aldermen over this one. But I really would like to thank Trish and Anita for all the work that they put in. I mean, we couldn't have had the summit, which was a really good summit, and then helping the work group figure out where to go next. And I know that you're both overwhelmed with other things, and so I know, I speak for both of us that we really appreciate your help and support there. So thank you.
And a brilliant job welcome. Indeed.
I just wanted to clarify that the staffing requirement is basically a continuation of the staffing that's being provided for the Morgan Creek Task Force. Is
it's
that
more,
right?
It's more similar to what we've done with the support for the Greenway Summit Work Group, I would say, and in that the Morgan Creek Greenway Trail Committee was envisioned, I think, to primarily just be staffed in the planning department. Okay. But because this commission is broadening out from just the conceptual planning process to some other issues, perhaps not in the short term, but in the longer term. And since the board has, since that committee was established, has adopted the Rec and Parks Master Plan, which it includes a Greenway component, very formally now with a series of a trail hierarchy and so forth. It's seen as a joint staffing effort between Rec and Parks and
okay. I guess my concern is in terms of the planning staff, in terms of what extra burden there might be, considering that we're shorthanded and that we have two, the Smith Level Road and the Northern Study Area, kind of short-term, pretty intense projects.
Well, we're trying to make it work out without it being too.
Steve, you're I guess it's before us, and there's no caveat in terms of that.
Well, no caveat. I mean, we're trying to make it work, and that's part of the reason for splitting some of the responsibilities between planning and rec and parks. But I think I've shared with the board my concern about the workload on staff, particularly in the planning department. So I don't want to be, you know, anything but straightforward about that. This will stretch us.
Yeah, well, let me ask you very directly, or, you know, just pose to you that, you know, if you feel like waiting a few months till the other projects were farther along or perhaps even toward completion in the fall would be important for the planning workload, I think that's something I'd like to hear that we could consider.
Can Randy and I interject a little bit here? We've just been chit-chatting back and forth, and we would both feel very comfortable with waiting until fall to put the bulk of the energy into this, given our staffing at the moment.
Staffing and other board positions that aren't filled. It's very sensible.
I guess one thing I'd want to know from Trish, and you know, the Morgan Creek project is a very important project, and I want to make sure we aren't doing anything to jeopardize the funding or moving forward on that, Trish.
I believe because it's because of the type of project it is, we have some flexibility for carrying those dollars over into the next fiscal year
if we need
to. I can double check on that.
I think if that's the case and if the board is willing, I think that would give some breathing room because, as you all know, we're down two staff in the planning department right now.
I think we're very comfortable with that. One thing, Trish, folks may not be real clear who's on the Morgan Creek Trail Committee, and when this material hits the website, if a listing of who has formerly been on that board could go with it, and we can at least...
I think they're listed there already in Sarah's list.
Is it there?
Yeah, I think they're in the advisory board list, but we'll definitely we'll check that and make sure that that's the case. So it's real clear, and we will be contacting each person as well,
right?
Depending on what action you take.
Yeah.
Can we change the resolution on Section 3 where it says effective upon adoption, that it's subject to the discretion of the manager, but no later than, say, November 1st or something like that?
Yeah, that would be good. With that change, I'll move it.
And I'll second it.
Okay.
Yahoo.
It's been moved and seconded that we adopt the resolution with Section 3 amended to say the resolution shall become effective. In the discretion of the town manager, but no later than November 1st, 2007. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, matter passes unanimously. Thanks very much to staff and to Randy and Jackie who... have helped bring this whole subject so far along. Thank you. Board members, our last item on our printed agenda is D2, discussion of making an appointment to the OWASA Board of Directors. So let's talk about it. I'm assuming staff doesn't have a presentation. Yeah, Dan.
I think there's a number of good applicants in here, but for me to have seen Braxton step forward and put his name to return to this position, I think it's, you know, it's excellent for the town to have his experience returning to that board. So not wanting to shortcut, you know, any discussion of any applicant, but other applicant, but I'd like to move Braxton Fouché.
I second that. But let me ask if because the Board of Adjustment needs people on the board, I would ask if we could consider calling up Mr. Brantley, who also applied for the Carborough Board of Adjustment, as one of his choices. And, Sarah, if you could contact him, and I'll also contact him myself to see if he would like to be on the board, unless anybody on the board objects.
That sounds like a good idea.
That's a good idea.
Okay. Hearing none, that's what I'm going to do.
Okay. We'll but we'll take action on that at a later date. It's been moved and seconded, and I believe thirded and fourthed, that we appoint Braxton Fushi to the OWASA Board of Directors. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, matter passes unanimously.
Just for a little background for those who are watching who don't know Braxton, Braxton is one of our former colleagues on this board from many years ago, and he served this board very well. And he's kind of been laying low for a while, and I'm really pleased to see Braxton jumping back in. He's a great guy.
He knows the ropes on both
the
sides.
The only other thing I would bring to the board, if you didn't have a problem with, because the Board of Adjustment does not have a quorum, there is someone that they would like to be on the Board of Adjustment, and we could resolve that. And I just need to talk to the chair, and if that's all right, since there's no, you don't really have a majority, and that they have suggested this person be appointed, and he has been to the meetings, that that person's name be put forward, and I'll contact the Board of Adjustment, and hopefully.
So we'll get that onto an upcoming agenda.
Yes. Hope to have that to the clerk by the 17th.
Okay. Well, hopefully we can have at least two names.
Okay.
Are there matters from board members? I know.
Did you need to check staff first?
I asked them before the meeting.
Yeah, I have a couple of hopefully quick items. First is that because of some of the issues that have come up around appointments lately, the problem with Mark Markopoulos and the questions surrounding Mary Rabinowitz, to name two, I'd like us to schedule some work session time to talk about the whole appointment process. And if possible, I'd like us to do it before summer break, so if we make any changes, we can get them implemented in time for the fall season.
Can we have just a little memo from somebody of what the problems are?
What the issues are?
Yeah, what the issues are.
For that work session?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Summarizing those. Okay.
Do we need a motion on that?
My only question about that,
Mr.
Manager, when do you anticipate that we would? When are you hoping that we will adopt our budget?
June 19th.
Yeah.
Or sooner, if you'd like.
So I'll just point out that it wouldn't be possible to schedule that topic, I don't think, for our April work session. And our May and June work sessions are usually spent on the budget.
Definitely May.
I'm not coming in July. Y'all will be back.
But June would be a possibility.
June would be a possibility.
Because typically the board has, we've had one work session in May, and if we've needed a second one, it's normally been in May. We normally have a special meeting if we need it, but the last couple of years, the board has chosen not to do that.
Okay, well.
So if we can't do it in June, we do it in September.
Okay, well, so just with the understanding that it may or may not be all that feasible, but anyway, the motion was simply that we do schedule it, so that's fine.
Okay.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed.
Sarah was just showing me the calendar at this point. Even though it's not technically a work session night, May 15th might be a good night because right now that appears to be a very light agenda.
Okay. All right, so we might bring it on other than a work session night.
Okay. Next thing I had was I'd emailed you all about the League of Municipalities' opposition to Senator Cowell's Public Safety Employer-Employee Cooperation Act, which would allow public safety officers the right to join or form labor organizations. And as I suggest in that email, I would like us to send a letter to the League objecting to their position, copy Senators Cowell and Kinnaird. I checked with Senator Kinnaird. She supports Senator Cowell on this. So I guess I would like to move that letter be sent.
From a union family, I will second.
Absolutely.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Sharman and I will work on trying to draft a letter. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed.
I'm getting there. Next thing is in Southern City on page 6, there's an article called Citywide Wiring Would Give Wilson Superior Infrastructure, which is about a pretty major project in the city of Wilson to provide optical cable throughout the city. And they're also going to be offering internet, video, and telephone service to residents of the municipality. And I'm interested in getting not a lot of detail or a lot of time put into this, but, you know, like Steve, if someone on staff could read this article and think about it and say, here's what an initial take on the implications for Carrboro about possibly pursuing this kind of direction would be?
I'd be glad to. I do know right offhand that the city of Wilson is an electric city, so they already have crews who do cabling and so forth.
Okay, so they have infrastructure.
They've got an infrastructure in place that we don't have.
Okay. All right. Well, that's helpful. Well,
but Drew can find some time to bring us a report, I'm sure.
Well, there you go.
No, he's not doing anything.
Last thing I had was this letter from Commissioner Chairman Carey about dividing up the cost of a homelessness support position. And I guess before we agree to that, I would like to hear a justification of why the citizens of Carrboro should pay extra for that, because, you know, everything, you know, social services, as I understand, they're typically responsibility of county government.
By state law.
By state law, thank you. And everyone in the county proportionally pays their tax to Orange County, so we're paying our fair share there. So, you know, this is laid out here, but, and I understand there's a precedent that it's been done before, but I guess I would like to, I'm not asking for tonight, but I would like at some point, if it's suggested that we are going to agree to this, I'd like to know why.
Well,
I think maybe we could have a presentation on the whole report.
The 10-year plan.
On the 10-year plan, that would be illuminative for the board.
I'm fine with that, and I know it was late, but I just have to say part of some of the reasons why there is this homelessness is because we don't have the appropriate housing for people in certain types of situations.
Well, that's what was being, the plan is a housing first plan.
Okay.
And the staff person is a good first step in that direction, but I agree with Dan on the funding of that staff position. Right. But anyway, if we can get a presentation just on the plan, which we really should see before we start agitating for any funds for it. Although the plan isn't completely solidified, this is
well,
the position is.
It's but planned for May 1st.
Okay.
Well, the other part is, though, where will it fit in our budget? That's the other kind of agitating thing.
Well, I can tell you where we've looked at it if the board so chooses, and that would be a part of our human services funding.
Mm-hmm. But that means we would just increase
because we really, trust me, there is no other place to go.
Okay.
Well, I think it presents a number of interesting issues, particularly, you know, it seems like the county's been quite reticent about providing any type of real estate resources for the homelessness problem, and I think it's a remarkable position to take to come and ask us for money when our lead agency in the community is being stonewalled on the subject of a location for their facilities.
No more remarkable than where they put the transfer station. And I'll end on that note.
Okay. Jackie.
I've had numerous people lately once again talking about problems down by the pantry on the corner down on Jonesberry and Davy, is that what that would be, with more congregating of people who seem to just be hanging out and alcohol problems and harassing women when they walk by. And so I know we've dealt with this before in the past, and certainly none of us wants to prevent people from being in a location where they can find work, where they can find pickup work. You're not finding that much pickup work at 8 o'clock at night on a street corner, you know. So I'd really like us to... And I'd like a report from the police department on what that situation is, and how many complaints they're getting. Because we had brought this up several years ago, it seems, and then it kind of faded away in the press of other things. But I think when we have citizens saying, I don't feel safe, that we have an obligation to respond to that. And I don't mean we have to have something next week, Steve, but...
I'd like to piggyback on that and just say that if when Chief Hutchinson were able to give us a report on that. One of the other issues that keeps coming up and is all over the paper about the extensive amount of break-ins that are occurring in neighborhoods, car break-ins, you know, vandalism, and folks have been contacting us regarding that.
Okay. If there are no other matters from the board, I want to make an announcement. We are going to have our, as this board has directed, a large public meeting concerning the future of the Northern Study Area and possible new commercial and residential developments that might happen in the Northern Study Area. That meeting is going to be at the McDougal, the biggest room at McDougal School,
cafeteria,
McDougal Cafeteria, on the 21st of April, which is a Saturday. It's going to start at 9 a.m., 8:30 a.m. There will be coffee, and it'll probably go till about noon.
Is that 8:30 or 9?
8:30. It is at 8:30. Starts at 8:30. We would love to have as many people from all over Carrboro come as possible, especially folks who live in the Northern Study Area. We would love to have as many of the Board of Aldermen members there as can be. And so that will be April 21st at 8:30 a.m. at the McDougal Cafeteria. There'll be a follow-up meeting as well a month or two later, and we'll make more announcements about that at the time. But we're asking people who are really interested in this topic to come and participate in both of the meetings if possible.
Thank you. And thank you for your leadership on that one.
Alderman Zaffron has also been participating in helping to make that happen. All right. If there's nothing else?
Move adjourned.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. All right. We are adjourned. And if there was